Welcome to the Single to Soulmate podcast, your weekly dose of inspiration and guidance on the path to finding true love. I'm your host, Tanya Alberti, a spiritual relationship and manifestation coach, here to help support you on your journey towards attracting a soul-aligned partnership. Each week, we'll explore powerful insights, practical tips, and transformative techniques that will empower you to create the love life you've always dreamed of. Are you tired of feeling stuck in your love life? Do you long for a deep and meaningful connection with a partner who truly understands and supports you? Well, you're in the right place. The Single to Soulmate podcast is designed specifically for those who are ready to break free from old patterns, heal their hearts, and manifest a soulmate relationship. And as your guide on this journey, I'll be sharing my years of experience and expertise in the realms of spiritual growth, personal development, and conscious manifestation. I'll help you tap into your intuitive awareness, embrace your authenticity, and show up as your best and highest self. Together, we'll delve into the power of self-love, healing from past wounds, and harnessing the principles of manifestation to attract the love you desire. Each episode of the Single to Soulmate podcast is carefully crafted to provide you with actionable insights and practical strategies. You'll gain valuable tools to navigate the challenges of modern dating, enhance your communication skills, and cultivate a deep soul-level intimacy with your partner. We'll explore topics like setting healthy boundaries, building self-confidence, and trusting your intuition in matters of the heart. So whether you're single in a new relationship or just navigating the complexities of a long-term partnership, this podcast is your trusted companion. You'll find inspiration, motivation, and guidance to support you on your quest for love. Together, we'll transform your relationship with yourself and others, creating a foundation of love, trust, and mutual growth. So if you're ready to embark on a transformative journey towards finding your soulmate, make sure to hit that subscribe button and join me every week on the Single to Soulmate podcast. Together, we'll unlock the secrets to attracting a love that aligns with your truest self. Get ready to manifest the relationship of your dreams. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Single to Soulmate. I am here with an amazing guest who is also a very dear friend of mine, Paula Martin. And Paula, how do I describe Paula? She is a sparkly, hippie, right up my alley, perfectly imperfect, kick-ass Reiki and animal Reiki master teacher, intuitive and holistic healer who specializes in trauma recovery. And she is a firm believer that healing from trauma doesn't have to be traumatic. And distance healing is one of her favorite modalities, not just because of the wonder of being able to connect with people worldwide, but the messages she gets from spirit from her clients, which is what I love. And we're going to dig into that today a little bit. So Paula, welcome. I'm so happy.
Thank you. Finally,
we got our shit together because so many times I'm like, oh, we're going to do this. And I'm like, oh yeah. And then she gets sick and I'm like, oh shit, I forgot. Oh yeah. One thing after another. So it was destined to happen today, finally. So
exactly.
Paula, tell us about you. Tell us who you are, how you got involved with Reiki and healing. And tell me about that stuff.
So funny enough, Reiki is something that I've always done, but I didn't know I was doing it until a friend of mine said to me about 6 years ago now, said, I'm teaching Reiki. And I kind of looked into it a little bit and I heard the word, but I didn't know what it was. So I said, yeah, you know what? I'll come do Reiki one. Why not? So I went to her class and within about 30 seconds of her starting to teach, I'm like, oh, this is what I've been doing. So it's something that comes very naturally to me. I'm currently working on doing more the distance side of it because number one, I love it. I get tons of messages in. More so than when people are with me, but I'm also traumatized by winter up here in Canada because on Christmas Eve, we got 5 feet of snow. I'm 6 feet tall and it was up to my shoulder and I am never doing that willingly again. So I figure with a distance Reiki, I can work just as easily on a beach down in Florida visiting you as I can sitting in a 6 foot tall snowbank.
Yeah, no, that would not be to my jam. I am definitely not a cold weather person. So anytime, come on down. Feel free.
It was not my jam.
I can understand it. I can certainly understand it. Which I love though, because what I think is the coolest, because I have my Reiki master certification as well. And I love the fact that you can connect
with people energetically. And a lot of people don't understand this. They don't understand really like the ins and outs. So maybe just explain a little bit of how that works when you do distance healing.
So now what I do with distance, a lot of times I don't even know what my client looks like. I don't know anything about them. Sometimes I do because I've worked with them before, but if they've been recommended to me or they found me or, you know, whatever, I don't want to know about them because I kind of like to see what comes up and I like to keep it pure. Some people do do it by Zoom. I do not. We set a time together because reality is when you hire me, you're hiring me for self-care. So sit down, take your time and do it. I can do it anywhere. You can be playing soccer. That's fine. But you're hiring me for self-care. So don't be doing your dishes. Sit down, relax. I don't care if you read a book, have a bath, whatever you want to do, however you relax, have a glass of wine, do that. I use a teddy bear as a representation of the person. I have, I was going to say 3 or 4, but it's more like 5 or 6 pendulums that I use. And I check people's chakras on the teddy bear first to see where they're blocked. And then I go through and I do a Reiki session on the bear as if it were that person. As I work, I write, and it's almost like automatic writing. I don't check my grammar. I just write. I don't even know what I'm writing half the time. It's so weird how spirit takes over, and it's just, I don't know. It's just there. I don't know how I know. I just know. Things come up. My hands, I call them champagne hands. They get really, really hot and bubbly. Ginger ale sounds too cheap, so they're champagne hands.
Yeah, go for the good stuff.
Yeah, I got to go for the good stuff.
Right.
So, and once that starts to subside and my hands cool down on an area, then I move on to the next one. And so once I'm done, I generally send my client a quick little, you know, either by messenger or by email. Okay, I'm done. You know, feel free to get up and walk around, whatever, do what you're doing, continue with your day. You'll hear from me in about half an hour, 45 minutes, and I write down everything that came through in the session and I send it off by email. So you get, it's usually about 4 pages in and around there, depending on what we're working on. I never know where spirit's going to lead me. So sometimes I could literally just stay focused on your shoulder, or it could be a full body. I don't know until we're in there.
I love it. And that's the cool thing. Cause, this is what I try to get across to people. We are always all connected. So you don't have to be sitting right in front of anybody. Like, you can read energy across the world, anybody that you're tapped into. And it really is a skill, and you can learn and develop it. And what the cool thing was when I first started doing Reiki, I wasn't even tapped into my mediumship. But when I first started doing Reiki, but as I progressed in my intuitive awakening, my intuitive skill, my connection to spirit, I have found that when I do Reiki, that I get tons of messages. So I think it's so cool because I try to tell people, I'm like, listen, we are all intuitive. We are all spirit. We all have this language that we speak that's energy. So it's super, super cool. And I love that you do that. And I love that you do animals. I love animal Reiki.
Animals are fun. Animals are a whole nother ball game. So obviously most times if it's a domestic animal, unless they're vicious, I'm generally in the room with them, whatever, but I mean, we have a lot of rescue centers and stuff like that up here. I'm not going to go in a room with a bear. Like let's be honest. I'm crazy, but I'm not quite that crazy. You know, so that, and again, even with animals, it's by distance, but when you do work on an animal that's in front of you and you're like actually physically touching the animal and going through everything, it's funny how they present to you where it hurts. Like if it's their hips, they give you, you know, they'll give you their butt, right? Even though their owner's saying, no, it's their front elbow. No, it's not. It's their rear end because that's what they're giving me. Animals know. They're so, like, I mean, we all know they can predict major storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes. We all know this. Like it's very well documented that they can do this. So they're a lot easier to connect with sometimes than humans. Yeah, they're just easier because they don't have the same thought processes that we have. It's not that they don't think, they do, but they don't have a million and one things running through their head that we do.
Right, they don't have the ego.
And they don't have ego. Exactly.
That right.
That's
there.
A good point. Yeah. They don't have ego. So when they're done, they just get up and they walk away. They're like, done with you. Bye. And they're gone. And they literally, if you go near them, they're like, I told you I'm done. And they get up and walk away again.
Yeah, they're like, see ya. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks, man. I feel good now. See you later.
Right? I know. I love it.
It's fun.
So I'm coughing. Sorry. What I think I wanted to really kind of get into today, being that you're in the healing space, is I know just personally, because we've shared this with each other before in talking about our past and our relationships, I know that you have had, and you can share as much as you want to, like there's no pressure, but I know you've escaped a physically abusive relationship and amongst other things, but what I really wanted to talk about was healing from that. Like, what have you done on your journey? You know, where were you then? How did you manage to break free from that? What have you, I mean, I know this is a long, involved question, but what have you done in your own healing work, your own inner healing work that's gotten you from there to where you are today? Like, I know that's a huge, long, loaded question, but
that's okay.
Just talk.
So my ex-husband, and it wasn't the gentleman that I lived with when we met, we're friends. But my ex-husband, which is, we're going back now about 12 years, and we were together for 12 years. So for quite a long time, he was very abusive, and you know, my whole house, like the doors looked like lace because his fists had gone through them so many times and whatever. And it's funny how with abuse, you don't recognize it at first, especially because it's not just always physical. It's the emotional abuse and the verbal abuse that just happens so gradually. Like they don't put their fist in your face first.
Right.
They kind of get you to that point where you're feeling down about yourself and you're feeling low and you're, you know, and then all of a sudden one day you wake up and you're like, oh my God, how the hell did I get here? How is this even happening in my life? Because it is so gradual. Abusers are so good at doing it gradually, unfortunately, that they know, especially narcissists.
I interrupt this podcast because I have some exciting news for you. Are you ready to transform your love life and manifest the relationship you truly desire? Well, if so, then listen up. I have an exclusive training coming up, and I want to help you discover the power of intuition in dating and in manifesting love. In this training, you're going to learn how to unlock your intuitive abilities and harness them to attract healthier relationships and manifest the love you've been longing for. Imagine having the confidence to make better choices, recognize the red flags, trust your gut instincts when it comes to dating. This training is going to provide you with practical techniques, guided exercises, and insights that will supercharge your intuitive senses and transform your love life. During this training, you're going to explore the role of intuition in dating, learn how to cultivate your intuitive abilities, and overcome self-doubt and second-guessing. You'll also discover the art of decoding intuitive cues and signs in dating scenarios, as well as how to trust your inner voice when making relationship choices. You'll uncover the secrets to manifesting your ideal love life by aligning your actions with your intuition, set empowering intentions, and watch as the universe conspires to bring you the love and relationships you deserve. This is an opportunity you do not want to miss, so grab your spot now by registering for this free training. Simply visit my website at www.tanyaalberti.com/theintuitivecodetraining and reserve your spot today. The link is in the show notes. Spaces are limited, so don't wait. Remember, the power to transform your love life is within you. So join me for this free training and unlock the power of your intuition in dating and in manifestation. Register now and get ready to attract the love and relationships you truly deserve.
Narcissistic ones, they know how to say the right things at the beginning, and they, you know, they know all those things, but once you disagree with them, that's when, you know, the world turns and flips upside down on you. So this one evening, the last time, for the very last time, he tried to kill me. I was trying to climb out the window. Obviously not a good scene. So he was removed, took 6 police officers. I knew I was going to be okay, but I knew I couldn't. He completely destroyed our bedroom. I couldn't go in there for months and months and months and months. I couldn't go in there. Even I'd slept on the couch. I was terrified. But the one thing that I did for myself that gave me myself back was I agreed that I could literally do one thing a day. That's what started it all. That's it. As long as I accomplished that one thing, it didn't have to be a big thing. It could literally be getting out of bed, having a shower, having a piece of toast for breakfast, any of those things, because your stomach and everything, you're all in this big twisted knot of shit. And you don't know what to do. And you're so used to being abused. Now all of a sudden you're free. And how do you deal with the freedom? How do you deal with that when you're used to being told every day that you're a piece of shit? Now you're not hearing it. And you're like, what do? You have to literally reteach yourself all the way around. You have to teach yourself that you're not. So for me, I'm fortunate enough that, and I don't even know if strong is like a compliment anymore. Like, I'm kind of tired of being strong or resilient or any of those things. I wish I didn't have to be. But I am a survivor, and I literally put one foot in front of the other. And I mean, even with that one thing that I would do a day, sometimes it was literally just that one thing that I could do. And other times it would be, by the end of the day, I'd have 30 things accomplished. But as long as I could do that one thing, my day was a success. And slowly, and it took years and years of healing. It took years of it. And still, you know, there's days I still have triggers. And this is 12 years ago now. I still have triggers where then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, and I'm back to locking the door and looking over my shoulder. And I live in the bush. Like, I just got to really worry about bears. You know, it's not like I'm in the city and I got to worry that he's walking behind me down the street. But it's just, just one foot in front of the other. I had to learn to love myself again because I didn't love myself. And it's not easy. Healing from trauma is not easy. I did the counseling too. And the reason why I say trauma doesn't need to be dramatic, I find sometimes we get counseled out. We see too many counselors, and every time we go to the counselor, we have to tell the same story and story and story and story. I don't want to fucking tell it anymore. I want to know how to move on.
Right.
I don't want to tell it anymore. I'm done. I don't want to get telling this to you guys here. I'm not really going into depth. You know what I mean? But when you're with a counselor, you have to go into that depth and whatever. And then if you don't jive with that counselor, then you go to another one, and you gotta, it's like ripping that Band-Aid off and the stitches.
It's like re-traumatizing yourself.
It is every single freaking time. Yeah. I don't want to do that anymore. So that's why I work with trauma victims. And that's why I help women, especially women. And I do. I work with victim services up here, you know, and most of my clients come from abuse. Yeah. And that's just, you know, that's just what I do because, number one, I get it. Well, you and I also know that you do not become a healer because your life has been easy.
No. No,
it's not because we've had all sunshines and roses and everything's been great and, you know, the unicorns are jumping around and doing ballet. It's because life has been shit and we've had big trauma, and we don't want people to feel how we did. So if I can teach somebody my skills that I have on how I got through, like, you know, literally one step at a time, or learning how to ground yourself and washing it off in the shower. I'm just standing under that water and letting it literally just get that ick off. If I can help somebody that way, my day's worth it.
Yeah, I so feel that. And listen, and I'm glad you brought that up too, about, I'm not dissing therapists by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. And I tell people.
No, I'm not dissing them either.
I know you're not. I'm prefacing what I'm going to say. I know you're not doing that. But as somebody who has been in years of therapy, between my eating disorder and sexual abuse and things like that, that I have been through myself, I can tell you that my own healing journey started for me when I stopped revisiting that shit.
Yes.
And I was in inpatient therapy. I was in outpatient therapy for years. I was hospitalized like multiple times with my eating disorder. And every single time I had to rehash the same fucking shit.
And every fucking thing, every fucking detail.
How many life stories do I need to write? I'm like, I'm done. Like, I know where my trauma is, this is not helping me. Like it did.
How do I heal from it?
But to an extent, yes. Like, I'm like, I don't feel like, and here's the thing where I think with, and this is part of the reason why I got out of medicine. Because I used to be an RN, for those of you who knew. And the medical model, it's all physiology based. It's all, you know, your machine, your biology, and we should be able to pick apart the brain and do these things. What people don't understand is there's so much that is energy first. It's energy first before it ever manifests in the body. And what people don't realize is when you have trauma, that shit fucking gets stored in your body, stored in your yes. body, stored in your energy field. And
it causes all that dis-ease.
Exactly.
That's what, I mean, I have fibromyalgia. If you don't think that's trauma-based, you need to shake your head because it's fucking trauma-based.
Yeah, absolutely. So
thyroid, same thing, extreme stress.
Yeah.
My thyroid kicked out, 100%. Yeah. It's trauma-based.
Yeah. So when you, and I love that you work specifically with women too, with trauma, because I think it's, I don't know how it is in Canada, but here, I think it's a little bit different up there for y'all. But down here, like Reiki is still fringe. It's still.
Oh, here too.
It's like, I think they offer it like in the cancer centers and stuff, but like you can go into a hospital and work with somebody or be in like an office or something like that.
They're starting to in some places, but not all. Like I'll have clients that are going for an operation or, you know, whatever. And I don't go into the operating room with them, but I will, however, be at home and sending them energy so that, you know, it's for the greatest good of them and, you know, whatever. Right. But yeah, it's getting there, but it's not there. It's either people either know what it is or they don't have a clue.
Oh, that's so funny. I can't even imagine somebody not know what it is.
I know, because it's so, we're so
like, so it's like Reiki is. Reiki is.
Everyday life.
I guess not.
What do you mean?
So I know it's been a while. It's been a while since you went through that. So how was it after, like after, once you started going through, you know, healing your own self, healing your own trauma, healing your heart, and moving through some of that, how was it for you getting back out and meeting people? Like, was it a long time before you dated somebody again? Do you still feel uncomfortable with that? Is it?
It was about a year and a half until I got into another relationship. And that was with Vaughn. And Vaughn and I, like I said, we're still great friends, even though it didn't work out. We've been friends for 30 years. I'm not prepared to give up that friendship. He's a good man. Unfortunately, he's an alcoholic and I can't deal with it anymore. I can't watch him kill himself. So that was my decision to, you know, stop that. And we were starting to have problems because of his drinking, whatever. I had to go, for me personally, I went to Al-Anon because I didn't want to hate him because of the drinking. So just, you know, that was its own journey. But even when I left there, I'd been single other than I had a little blip. I'm single for after Vaughn for 3 years because I wasn't there. I wasn't in this. I didn't want to. I knew myself that I hadn't worked on myself enough and that I hadn't healed enough of my wounds. And that if I were to get into another relationship, it was just going to be the same one again and again and again. And again, because unless we change who we are, and the problem with women a lot, I find that we want them to change. We're only responsible for our own shit.
Yeah.
We can decide what we want to put up with from somebody else. We don't have to give them rules. They're, you know, they have minds and whatever of their own. And, you know, I mean, yes, we all have things that are like, they're our make or break, right? You know, like I wouldn't be with somebody who was also with 10 other women at the same time. Like for me, that just doesn't work. It's all about me.
That's your jam, but yeah.
No, I mean, if that's how your life works, that's great. As long as you're happy with it, you know, for me, that doesn't work. But I had to also learn how to put up boundaries. And I had to learn, like, boundaries was a new thing for me. I've never had them. Even when I was with Vaughn, I was the 50s housewife. I stayed home. I did everything. He went to work. I, you know, always made sure that I looked presentable and, you know, whatever, the trophy wife, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, and then when I left him, it took a while. It took a while. And then I did meet somebody and I thought it was great. And then we had an argument and he wasn't as far in his healing journey as what I have been. So he left as well, moved back home, which was 24 hours away from here, and sent me a text message when he got there.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So I just wrote one word and I just said, you're a coward. And I just left it at that. And I've never spoken to him since. And this is going back, I don't know, probably about 6 months ago now or so. Yeah, he just up and left because he couldn't handle it. And that's, you know what? That's fine. That's his journey too, right? But it hurt. It took me back for a minute because I hadn't opened my heart in a long time.
Well, sure.
So now the one thing I learned with that is that I can love again. I can care. I'm not a machine. I'm not dead. I still have feelings. They're no, because we do. We stifle our feelings.
No, so I know. That's what I'm saying. Opening the heart again. We shove all those feelings down.
I learned that I could care again. So I'm ready. I'm not wallowing in it. You know, like it's not going to take me 2 years to get over this one. It's like, yeah, pff, you're done. Out. Go. Lesson learned.
No, and I think that's really, I love the, like, the honesty of all of it, because I think when it comes to, especially after such a traumatic experience, when it comes to really learning to trust yourself again, trust your intuition, trust the feelings that you're having, I think that it takes a lot of inner work and inner journey to process everything to get to that place. And I know for myself, in my own stuff, I've done a lot of that inner work, right? You get to a place where you're like, okay, I can recognize in myself when I'm being triggered. I can recognize within myself when I'm projecting. But unless you're with a partner who also is conscious and aware of where they're at with their own shit, like what, and I don't mean necessarily spiritual awake, they don't necessarily even have to be spiritual awake, but to have that awareness of consciousness where they're like, okay, I know, you know, where I'm at, then it doesn't work necessarily, because they're going to be constantly in their shit projecting everything at you, you know, and then never take ownership. And then never look at their own shit. So it doesn't surprise me that he bailed and ghosted you. That doesn't surprise me. Because that's just evidence of him not being conscious around what he has in his own life that are his own triggers.
Well, and then the other thing is that I have boundaries now.
Yeah, exactly.
And I put them out. And you can cry and whine and whatever all you want. Those boundaries are there because they're there to protect me.
100%.
So that I don't become a doormat again. And it wasn't big boundaries. Like, they're not huge. It's just like, yeah, you know what? Don't boss me around. You don't get to come into my home and tell me what to do and how I'm doing it. And no, you go do that in your own home. You don't come here and tell us, like, you know. And I guess it's hard for a very proud man to be with a strong woman, because men have a hard time when we don't need them. Because we get stuck in our masculine energy because we've had to do it alone for so long that, and it's hard for us to let it go.
Yeah. And I think too, it's interesting because a lot of times I find with women that I try to catch them before they get into a relationship. I'm like, okay, we can work with this. Let's look at, what are your values? What's important to you? What are your boundaries? What are your push buttons? What are your triggers? What do you think, you know, what do you want in that relationship? And How do you handle like those situations, like when somebody is being, you know, maybe a little authoritative, or somebody's being a little too, you know, what are your push buttons? What's enough for you? What's too much? What's over the edge? And if you can know all of those things before you start meeting people, it makes a world of difference. Because what happens is you put those boundaries in place before you ever get feelings, before you ever really go further than a couple of dates, because you can do these things like and tapping in and accessing your intuitive awareness when you're getting to know people. That's what I tell you, like dating is get to know people. It's like a job interview, right? Excuse me. It's kind of like, okay, you don't have to be in a committed relationship with the first guy you meet, right? Exactly. You can allow that stuff to play itself out, because I promise you those red flags will show up. And so many people start to ignore that stuff until after the fact that they've already caught feelings for somebody. And now they're getting their heart broken because they're like, well, fuck, you know, here I am back to feeling like my heart's being broken. And then people wonder why this shit happens to them again and again and again. And I think so much of why that continues to happen is because not only are we attracting someone from the place of our woundedness, but we also aren't listening to ourselves. Like we're tuning it out, you know, and we're seeking to heal those wounds through replaying them in another person, which we're doing on a subconscious level. We don't even realize we're doing it. So
the same person over and over again, just a different person face.
Again and again and again. Exactly. Yep. So where, now that that's over and done with, and I know you said you spent even 3 years between now and then, what are your, like, give us your wisdom, your insight around how to move through and work on healing those wounds.
So now for me, with having the boundaries, I don't date just anybody. Do you know what I mean? Like if we're just talking and you've already hit one of them, being an intuitive, it doesn't make it any easier for men if they do want to date me. It's certainly, you know, when you start going down the rabbit hole, the intuition comes more and more and more. You can tell by how they type hi. You're like, you're already out. And you know, so like there is that aspect of it, but because I have the boundaries now, I'm not the same man, different face is still attracted to me, but I'm no longer willing to waste my time. I have been told by people that I am too picky. And I'm like, I don't think that I am. I think that my boundaries are there. I'm not asking for anything crazy. I literally in my notebook, every time I start a new notebook, I write in there exactly what I'm looking for in a person. Everything. Like right down to, I don't want a man with a hairy back. It's just like, no, but like everything, like the way they are, way they are with children, you know, that they're kind and they're, you know, just all those things. And I write it down and I have one hell of a list. And unless you can hit every point on that list, I mean, there's some that are wiggle rooms, right? They're just ridiculous and silly. But most of them, if you don't hit, especially the top 10, if you don't hit those, no, thank you.
Nope. No, and I think we'd have a lot more problems, or a lot less problems, I should say, in relationships in the world if more people did that. Because I tell my clients all the time, I'm like, make a freaking list and hold to your list. What are your non-negotiables? What are your non-negotiables? Because when it comes to, I think so many relationships, some women in particular, and I could go down a whole nother rabbit hole with this when it comes to the conditioning and the programming and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
But women in particular, I think, struggle so much with self-esteem because they're constantly being told that their validation lies outside of themselves in their appearance and how good of a mom they are and how good of a wife they are, how pretty they are, and now how successful they are, how many balls they can juggle in the air without pulling their hair out, you know, all these things. And it's all freaking, don't even get me started on the patriarchy. But anyway, it's like, I'll go down another rabbit hole. But and I love men, don't get me wrong, but it's conditioning. It's conditioning for thousands of years back to when women were property. And I was just talking about this in my last episode too. But I'm like, but that's what it is. I mean, it's like we are conditioned as women to validation outside of ourselves. And that sets you up for abuse. It sets you up for dealing with narcissists. It sets you up for all kinds of problems. And then you have these women who are so unfulfilled and in unhealthy relationships that they're seeking that, please love me, love me, love me. Tell me I'm enough. And they end up in these relationships where people treat them like absolute crap. And they're like, why does this keep happening to me? Because that's why. You need to learn to validate yourself. You need to have those boundaries, put them in place, know your worth, know your value, know what you want before you ever get into a relationship.
Yep. And coming from abuse, it's not easy to have that. It's a hell of a fight. It'll be the biggest fight you ever have in your life. Ever. And it is because you need to completely reprogram your mind. After all the abuse, you need to forget that. Because you know what? Honestly, I'd rather be punched in the face than told I'm a piece of shit. Like, as I mean, I wouldn't like either one, but if I had to choose, I'd prefer the punch in the face because that bruise is going to heal, but that I'm a piece of shit is going to sit right in the back of my head for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And that in itself is overcoming those.
It is hard to heal that. It is. And you have to dig deep and you have to, one of the books that helped me so much was The Four Agreements.
Oh, yeah.
And realizing that their shit, it wasn't me. That was their shit. I can't change it. I can't fix them. I can't heal them. I learned that in AA when I went to Al-Anon as well. The three C's are what you can't change it. I didn't cause it. I can't cure it. Those three C's, that's what resonated with me when I went there, was those. And just realizing that and realizing that it's not me, that helped me tremendously. That helped me tremendously. But it wasn't easy to get there. It's not like, oh, everything's sunshine and roses the next day. No, you have to dive deep. You have to heal your inner little girl. You have to heal those all the way going along. Otherwise, you do find the same thing over and over. And spirit will test you. When you ask spirit for what you want, spirit will throw the old in your path.
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Are you sure
you want different? Let's see.
I know.
Nope.
Have you really learned this lesson?
Yes. And it all the time.
You're getting an opportunity to prove that you've learned the lesson. Yeah. Yeah, that's happened to me. Yeah, it happened to me. Yeah, a few times. But I absolutely think it's amazing. And I, for those of you who are listening, who might have been through this journey yourself, I would encourage you to take to heart everything that Paula has said today. Because I know there is healing on the other side. Spirit heals all things. And the thing is too, and I don't think we're ever really fully all the way healed until we're on the other side.
No.
The thing is like so many people are like, oh, well, you know, if I just get all my inner child wounds healed, if I just get this healed, then I'll attract better and everything will be great. Like it's a destination. I'm like, yeah, there's no end point. There's no destination. It's all a journey, peeling the onion. There's always going to be work. There's always going to be shadow work, trauma work, healing work. It never ends. So just get used to it and know that once you have a better sense of self, put some boundaries up, start respecting yourself, start loving yourself, then yes, you will start attracting better.
Absolutely. So,
that being said, do you have any parting words of wisdom, anything you want to share about healing or any of the things that we talked about before we wrap things up for the day?
This is the very biggest one for me, and I'm surprised I haven't mentioned it until now. Forgive yourself. Very simply, forgive yourself. Because we tend to not forgive ourselves for allowing that to happen, and we blame ourselves. Forgive yourself for not knowing better at the time. That's always, once you know better, you do better. That's it. Forgive yourself. Because if you never forgive yourself, it's going to be the same over and over and over again. Forgive yourself.
That is so true.
And if you need help, don't be afraid to ask. I mean, I don't know what it's like in the States. I know up here, I know there are, you know, programs and stuff for women. If you have a 1-800 number and you are being abused, use it. Phone that freaking number. They have resources that you cannot imagine. And the women on the other end, it's generally women, sometimes there's men on the other end, they too have been through, and they've been where you are. They're there.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I know there's a domestic violence hotline. I don't know what the number is. I'll find it for local, and I'll post it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Because I know there's a local women's shelter by us, and I used to know the number. But anyway, I'll find it. And I'll post it in the thing. So, well, honestly, thank you so much for being so vulnerable and sharing that aspect of your life with us. I'm quite sure. Anybody who is listening to hear this is meant to hear this message will find comfort in hearing that. So, and knowing that there is life on the other side. There's life on the other side that you can get through it. And in spite of how things may look. So healing and hope, I think, are all things that are something we all need to hang on to, especially when you're in the midst of the shit. Right?
Yep.
So, my love, how can people get a hold of you? Like, if somebody wants some distance Reiki.
Absolutely. So the easiest way probably is, I'm a big Facebooker. So it's probably to find me on Facebook, and it's Paula's Healing Journey. That's the easiest way. If you want to email me, it's Paula@paulashealingjourney.com. That's the easiest way. I will respond. I even check my junk if it comes from a weird, you know, place. And sometimes I put it in the spam folder. I do check it. If you need me, I am here, and I will hold your hand, and I will help you get through it. I won't do it for you, but I will help you.
If it were only that easy. Here, do this for me.
Right? Wouldn't it be nice? Oh, could you just wave your magic wand and heal me?
Can you just make it all go away?
That'd be awesome.
You know how many times I've said to spirit, can't you just take this?
Mm-hmm.
Radio silence. I'm like,
I know. It's like, oh, now you're quiet.
I know.
Now you've got nothing to
say. We're right there with you. So, well, thank you so much. I love you
thank
so
you,
much.
Love. Thank you for being here. I love you too.
Thank you for sharing your story. And yeah, everything, if you want to find Paula, she's amazing. She does great work. I will put her information in the show notes. And thank you. And we will talk again soon. Take care.
Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Single to Soulmate. I hope the insights and guidance shared here have been valuable to you on your journey towards deep and fulfilling love. But it doesn't have to end here. Let's expand and deepen our connection beyond the podcast. Follow me on Instagram @IAM_TanyaAlberti, where I share daily tips and techniques for tapping into your intuition, connecting to your soul and divine guidance, manifestation, healing the heart, and calling in your sacred union. It's a space where we delve into conscious relationships and all the transformative elements that contribute to creating soul-aligned partnerships. I also invite you to join my vibrant Facebook community, The Relationship Revolution, co-creating conscious connections. Now, this is not just a place for random posts or memes about being single. It is a community based on vibrational resonance for those who really desire to shift what's holding them back from truly connecting on a soul level with their perfect person. So whether you're single or already partnered, this community is for you. In the group, I host twice weekly live teachings, provide workbooks, PDFs, meditations, and a whole library of resources to support your journey to love. You'll find the link to join in the show notes. Now, if you found value in the Single to Soulmate podcast, I would deeply appreciate your support. Please take a moment to leave a review. Your feedback not only helps me improve, but it also assists me in reaching more individuals who are seeking guidance and inspiration on their own love journey. Thank you for being a part of my growing community. Remember, love is your birthright, and your soul-aligned connection is waiting for you. Stay committed to your journey and remain open to the infinite possibilities. And until next time, keep shining your light and embracing the love that is meant for you.